When I met you in the summer, to my heartbeat sound, we fell in love as the leaves turn brown. And we could be together, baby, as long as skies are blue. You act so innocent now, but you lied so soon. When I met you in the summer,
we take the line a little further. When I met you in the summer in Devon or in Bognor Regis, I don't know, where did he meet her? Anyway, that was Calvin Harris and a little bit of Summer to get you in the mood for Devon and the amazing sunshine that we have before our very eyelashes. It's gorgeous, it's gorgeous. And a huge thank you to kick the show off to our Colin Large, who made me a very large, gorgeous coffee. Wow, thank you. You're so lovely. Here's a bit more of that song for you. Just a tad more. So, good morning. Hello, this is Julie Mullen, and I'm in the cat litter room in Totnes. And it is honestly true that I broadcast from a room that has not just one cat litter vehicle, but two little vehicles of the cat litter range. So lucky them, eh? But actually, one goes missing, so I have to say it's not quite as fragrant this morning. One goes missing to the bathroom for their own comfort and security. So yes, I am the cake-hole lady, and I'd like to say thank you to all our fab listeners who've been tuning in to Mr. Peter Shuren's Pizza. So I wish I'd heard that programme. Oh my God, when Colin Large told me that Peter Shuren had the pizza woman of the universe on, I was like, I want that pizza. I'm just going to say, is it the two birds pizza? I don't know. We'll find out. I'll have to get a message from Mr. Peter Shuren. Anyway, hope you've enjoyed his programme this morning and stay tuned to this one. So yes, hello Totnes and hello Dartington, or the ones who can just slide their finger over the woofer and tweet a button. Hello, darlings. And if you are one of those online listeners, and you could be absolutely anywhere in the world, you could be in Buenos Aires, Buenos Aires, or maybe you're in the Canary Islands, or Mozambique. Don't they sound delicious? Oh, they sound delicious from where I'm standing. Or perhaps you're in Bognor Regis, or Torquay, or Warrington. Are you in Warrington? If you're in Warrington, I'll give you a tenner. Go on, be in Warrington. Go on, Warrington. This is going out to my sister's friends because they came to stay in Devon and they insisted on this song. So it's for you, girls.
This is that ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Styling, wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman. I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am. I'm too hot. And my band bout that money. Break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch. Some nigga in it.
Take a sip, sign the check.
Julio, get the stretch.
Ride to Harlem, Hollywood, Jackson, Mississippi. If we show up, we gon' show out. Smoother than a fresh drop. Skip it.
I'm too hot. Call the police and the firemen. I'm too hot. Make a dragon, wanna retire, man. I'm too hot. Bitch, say my name. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch.
This really reminds me. So that was Mark Ronson and Bruno Mars and Uptown Funk. It really brings my mind to the moment that we had a party here in Totnes when we could. So it's probably going back about 4 years, actually. Well, obviously, that was that party. But in the years, we've had a few, not recently, obviously. But my sister's friends came to stay. And we had a brilliant time and lots of dancing, are you asking, around our handbags. So we love that. So Totnes, are you ready to Uptown Funk? Yeah? Come on. Lucy Matthews, are you funking? Peter Shearn, Bev, are you funking? Martin Seeger, are you funking? Yeah. I think we have to funk today, don't we? It saves thinking to funk. Okay, Bruno, we're going to call a halt to your vibe. But thank you, that was amazing. No, we loved you. I love that kind of uptown funk beaty song, particularly in the morning. It sort of gets the rhythm of your blood flowing. So hello, all of you. And I hope you've got loads of plans. I actually, now this is really quite a miracle, but I braved it to the hairdressers yesterday. Now, anyone who knows me knows that I'm like Howard Hughes anyway. Forget what we've been encountering for this last year or more. So I'm like Mrs. Durham freak. And so for me to go out to the hairdressers must be a change of mood, a change of unlocking. Oh my God. So yes. So my grey hair, which I don't mind revealing, because in fact, I saw many strands of grey when I was 30. Can you believe it? So it started happening on my barnet at age 30. So I've been trying to keep it at bay. But of course, with lockdown, it's just got right out there. So it's like growing like a vine. And so there's all this grey. So I was like, what shall I do? So she's turned me into a platinum blonde. Can you believe it? Now let's give her a few bells. That's Anna. I don't think you're meant to do adverts on community radio, but let's do one. Because Leaf Rees Green actually put her post up that she was off to the hairdressers. And I'm like, ooh, who did you go to? And so I found this amazing, lovely hairdresser, Anna, at Jill Goddard. And, well, the husband likes it. And that's very important. Let us go to another little sock. Should we have Rude? Oh, should we have a bit of Rude?
Saturday morning, jumped out of bed and put on my best suit. Got in my car, raced like a jet all the way to you. Knocked on your door with heart in my head to ask you a question. Cause I know that you're an old-fashioned man. Can I have your daughter for the rest of my life? I need to know. You say I'll never get your blessing till the day I die. Tough luck, my friend, but the answer is no.
A bit of Rude by Magic. I like that. I felt like I was transported all the way to Antigua, the Caribbean. I'd let him marry her, for goodness sake. There was a lovely little story, wasn't that encapsulated in that one? And talking about stories, this morning at 9:45, we have novelist Judy Lee on session 4. Woozer! So they've been flying by our sessions. It's been really fun. And for any of our listeners who are out there, writers, or maybe wishing, desperately wishing to be a writer, to become a writer. Judy Lee is a brilliant writer who has got 7 novels out there in the universe, fabulous novels. I think she told me 100,000 people had bought her book in America. So I'll have to get all the numbers this morning. But she has got all these novels, and I think she's even got 2 actually up her sleeve that she's written, you know, in advance. Oh my God. So every day she sits at her desk, and we've been hearing the stories and also some brilliant readings from her books. So looking forward to seeing Judy Lee on Messenger at 9:45 to give us some top tips. What do you reckon? Lovely day or what? Lovely day. Lovely day.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day. Instead of me, always seems to know the way. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Bill Withers and Lovely Day. He's told us it's going to be a really lovely day. Thank you, Bill. I think he's right. Particularly if you're visiting Devon. It's going to be smashing. Smashing. Oh, I'm so sorry. I've cut him off rather abruptly. So that was a bit of Lovely Day by Bill Withers. And yes, I've had my barnet done. I've been out there. I actually went to a shop. I went to a shop. Can you imagine this? I really am breaking out, but the unlocking has begun. I'm very excited about that because actually it has been really depressing being locked in, locked down. Did get out for obviously the dog walks. Talking about the dog. Now, a lot of you will know that in lockdown we got a puppy, as so many people got a lockdown puppy. But we sort of joined, the puppy joined two rather large dogs. So it is that hysterical little and large scenario. And you have to just see he's progressed, my goodness. He really has. He's decided that because he's little, he is actually now officially a lap dog and a bed dog and a whatever dog. So in his honour, let's play a little bit of Stevie, shall we? This is for you, Trousers. You little darling, you.
Oh, well.
Nothing like a little bit of Sir Duke for the puppy. I still call him a puppy. That's ridiculous, isn't it? Because he's little. In fact, somebody came up to us in one of our jaunty moments. We sat outside in Ashburton and she said, "Would you like a treat for the puppy?" So he must look like a puppy. She said that. God, it's good to get out, isn't it? It really is. So at 9:45, we have got session 4 with Judy Lee, novelist. Really excited about that. She's in Wellington. And last week, she was recounting the story of the welly wanging. Oh, I loved it. I really want to welly wang. Don't you? I think welly wanging has to be on my list. Oh, really? I only said the word welly wang. Somebody started shouting.
Choosing your battles, pick yourself up and dust yourself off and back in the saddle. You're on the front line, everyone's watching. You know it's serious, we're getting closer, this isn't over. The pressure's on, you feel it, but you got it all, believe it. When you fold it up, oh, oh, and if you fold it up, eh, eh, tamina, mina, sangalewa, cause this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. It's time for Africa. Listen to your guide, this is our motto. Your time to shine, don't wait in line. If I'm a spot over, people are raising their expectations. Go on and feed them, this is your moment. No hesitation. Today's your day. I feel it. You pave the way. Believe it. If you get down, get up. Oh, oh. When you get down, get up. Hey, hey. Tamina, mina, sangalewa. This time for Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka.
A little bit of Shakira and Waka Waka. I like the sound of Waka Waka. I think I played that because of welly wanging. So 9:45 on 102.5 FM for Judy Lee. And meantime, let's have a little bit of adulthood. A little bit of poetry.
I was stripped of my childhood. At the age of 16, I walked naked into manhood. 'Cause my parents were Rolling Stones. No, they were never in a rock band or on the cover of a magazine. It's just that they never hung around long enough to gather any moss. Trips back and forth to Africa in search of a better life for us made me feel like the one we had was never good enough. The one I gave them was never good enough. So me and my sisters learned to harvest ourselves, trying to see the fruits of my labor hanging from my family tree. But you see, it's hard to grow trees in the city. So at the age of 17, I knew walking a certain way would have consequences. That if my pants were too high around my waist or my trainers were slightly out of date, I might as well have been walking with a target painted on my back. You see, you learn to do adult shit real quick. You learn to add bass in your voice when asked provocative questions. You learn to hold a man's gaze. You learn to read maps, 'cause if you ended up in the wrong postcode, it could have been a rap. You learn that death doesn't have an age limit. You learn that guns are only cool on PlayStation or Terminator movies. You learn that people can be cruel. You learn what rent is and how your parents' mood changes when it's due. You learn how the system deliberately chooses to forget about you. You learn that you went to school for 18 years thinking that you learned so much, but you didn't really learn a thing. The only thing you learn is how to stop being a child. Because the adult world isn't designed for us to dream. Not designed for us to only feel love. Because it's a world where a smile is frowned upon. Laughter is suspicious and honesty is betrayal. It's childhood betrayal. Is it naive enough to make you believe that all the make-believe is real? You see, from time to time, I had conversations with my inner child. And he's always smiling. His row of glistening teeth a bridge to the happiness that I sometimes forgot. He's always dancing, even though his moves are slightly outdated and his body's far from graceful. And he mocks me. He says I may be weak, but at least I was never afraid. If being a man means being afraid to love, being afraid to trust, afraid to continue running, chasing those realities that we formed that one day you decided they were better called dreams. Look at you, you're too afraid to even be yourself. Tell me who's really the immature one. If you let them take me away from you, all you have left is everything that they gave you. Letting them take me away from you is the difference between the profit of a man who gains the world at the price of his soul. But if you so desperately want to be accepted, if you so desperately want to be an adult, go. Cause I know you will come back. They all come back. You will come back. I just don't know if I'll still be here waiting when you do.
Forest. The winter of our discontents upon us. Desolate apostles lurking strong bow at the crossroads. We are nothing but an eating mouth, esophagus colossal. We won't stop until we've beaten down the planet into pellets before the interstellar mission to inflict more terror. It's killing me, it's killing me, it's filling me. I'm vomiting, it's stilling me. Everything is fine, really, silly me. Poor kids shot dead, poor kids locked up. Poor kids saying this is the future that you left us. Stocked up lunch meat processed punch from an unclean fat cat. Tasty, tasty poison, carcinogenic, diabetic, asthma. Epileptic, post-traumatic, bipolar and disaffected. Atomized, thinking we're engaged when we're pacified. Staring at the screen so we don't have to see the planet die.
What we gonna do to wake up? We sleep so deep it don't matter how they shake us. If we can't face it, we can't escape it. But tonight the storms come.
She's screaming, the drones turned a beautiful boy into a pile of bones. Nobody to bury, nobody is home. Running from war, the boat's full, the boat's sinking a mile offshore. No beds in the hospitals, our minds are against us. Imagine your daughter was gunned down defenseless. On her way to school there'd be uproar. But she's collateral damage, it doesn't matter. Now if our kids are fine, that's enough for us. You can't love into a vacuum, there's got to be a limit. Welcome to the biggest crime that's ever been committed. You think you and I are different kinds, you caught up in specifics. You and I apart are easier to limit. The illusion so complete, it's impossible to bring it into focus. Cinematic stock footage, you think people are locust. Uniform men keep unleashing explosives.
What we gonna do to wake up? We sleep so deep, it don't matter how they shake us. If we can't face it, we can't escape it. But tonight the storms come.
Tunnel vision, tunnel vision. Work, drinks, heartbreak. You can't face the past a dark place. Can't sleep, can't wake, sitting in our boxes. Notching up our victories as other people's losses. Another day, another chance to turn your face away from pain. Let's get a takeaway. You meet me in the pub a little later, we'll say the same things as ever. Life's a waiting game. When we're gonna see that life is happening. And every single body bleeding on its knees is an abomination. And every natural being is making communication. And we're just sparks, tiny parts of a bigger constellation. We're minuscule molecules that make up one body. You see, the tragedy and pain of a person that you've never met is present in your nightmares, in your pull towards despair. And the sickness of the culture and the sickness in our hearts is a sickness that's inflicted by this distance that we share. Now it was our bombs that started this war, and now it rages far away so we dismiss all its victims as strangers. But their parents and children made dogs by the danger. Existence is futile, so we don't engage. But it was our boats that sailed, killed, stole and made frail. It was our boots that stamped, it was our courts that jailed. And it was our fucking banks that got bailed. It was us who turned bleakly away, looked back down at our nails and our wedding plans. In the face of a full force gale, we said, well, it's not up to us to make this place a better land. It's not up to us to make this place a better land. Justice, justice, recompense, humility. Trust is something we will never see.
Kate Tempest and Suli Breaks, thank you both for being our poets today. Because I didn't have a poetry guest or a guest at 9:20. But I'm so lucky to have Judy Lee. So what should we do now? Should we have a party? Let's have a little bit of Raw. I love Katy Perry. Come on, Katy, darling, cheer us all up.
I used to bite my tongue and hold my breath, scared to rock the boat and make a mess. So I said quietly, agreed politely. I guess that I forgot I had a choice. I let you push me past the breaking point. I stood for nothing, so I fell for everything. You held me down. Off the dust, you hear my voice, you hear that sound like thunder.
Katy Perry and the Eye of the Tiger, and that was Raw. Actually, I was talking to Anna about Katy Perry yesterday. I was saying, because I'm very kind of, well, nosy. I'm like, oh, I wonder how much Katy Perry's worth. So, you know, you can do that Google thing, which is, I know, awful, but I had to. I don't know why. I just made myself do it. But 350 million. She's richer than Lady Gaga. Yoo-hoo! So she's boss, basically. She's boss. She's like the boss. And the next boss is coming at nine. She's my boss. Judy Lee's my boss because she's a boss writer. She's fab. In the meantime, let's have a little bit of Pharrell Williams. My sister in Australia sent me this song. I love it.
Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness.
Thank you, Christine Ryan in Melbourne, sending me that song. It does make you happy, doesn't it? Like Lovely Day, Bill Withers, and Sir Duke. All of those songs made me happy. I hope they made you happy. You've tuned in to 102.5 FM Sound Art Radio. I'm Julie Mullen on The K Cole Show. And in some una momentos at 1:45, we're going to be talking to our Judy Lee. Let's have a little bit of Martha, shall we? This is quite an oldie one, but I like it. Nowhere to run, nowhere Judy to Lee. Run. There's nowhere to run, love.
Every step.
wonderful oldie, Nowhere to Run. That's Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. Oh God, I remember that when I was growing up in Liverpool. My sisters always had music flooding the house in Liverpool. That it would be anything from Barbara Streisand and musicals and the Beatles. Definitely Nowhere to Run. I'm pretty sure, I haven't checked the date of that song, but pretty sure it was when I was a tiny tot growing up in Liverpool, listening to all their music choices. So no wonder I like a bit of chewing gum, as I put it. A little bit of dancey music. I love a bit of dance music. Now let's take us up to the 9:45 slot with Taylor. Swift to take us up to Wellington time and the 9:45 slot with Judy Lee. We're here, we've got to go, we've got to ring her. Love messenger, don't have to do any numbers. Hi, morning Wellington. How are you, Judy Lee?
Lovely and sunny here. It's great.
Yes, it is pretty gorgeous, although slight clouds moving. And I think you've stolen our weather.
I've got a cat at the windows hammering to come in with his paws. He'll just have to wait.
Your cat?
He hammers the window with his paws like he's a shopper wanting to return shoddy goods.
Oh, that's hysterical. Oh, he wants to get on the radio.
Yes, he does. He wants to get on the computer as well. He walks on the laptop and edits everything I do. He's a real character.
Does he actually put sort of a little bit of new wordage in there?
Oh, he's done more than that. He puts his backside on the laptop and he just puts rows and rows and rows of words in.
Any X's? Any kisses?
Oh, absolutely everything. I mean, he completely improves everything I do.
I love it. Now, I wanted to talk to you about your hair because I went to the hairdressers yesterday and I had about 8 inches of grey, I'm like, oh, can you make it low maintenance? So I'm looking in the mirror this morning and seeing this kind of, I've become a platinum blonde. Well, how's your hair?
Oh, that's lovely.
How's your hair doing?
Well, I have to go and get a bit cut off because it just turns into dreadlocks by itself if I don't sort of get it cut. And I have these huge tatty chunks that just naturally go into locks. And, you know, while it's very nice, my son would kill me. I just go and get chunks cut off it every now and then. And because it's quite curly, it has a life of its own. Uh-huh. And, you know, I was one of those young people, as many were, who tried to straighten it with irons and discipline it and make it behave itself. And really, I've come to the conclusion that it's sort of like me. It will go its own way and should be allowed to do so.
Yeah. Now, each week, we're on session four, and each week we've had a different discussion for possibly those aspiring writers out there. I don't know, you've probably got something up your sleeve, but I actually wanted to ask you a little bit as well, whatever you want to discuss, but about characterisation. Like, for instance, would you focus on someone's hair in terms of your characterisation, or is it literally more the kind of subtextual inner working life that you kind of develop in these stories? What would you say?
What a brilliant question. I think the answer is both. Mm. I mean, it's very easy as a writer to say she had brown hair and that characterises it through the whole thing.
Sure.
I'm just writing about a character with lilac hair.
Oh, wow.
And what I'm actually using that for is to show that actually she's a little bit different. She's a vicar's wife, but she's a little bit different in how she perceives herself, in how she perceives her life. So the hair is probably only a way in. Yeah. And I wouldn't just use hair. I would, you know, I'd look for sort of, you know, there's one man I use who keeps rubbing his hands together. Yeah. And he does that because it's a symbol of eagerness, and he's very eager, particularly around ladies. So, you know, you can find a little semiotic and then explore the character through that. But I do tend to want to make characters larger than just one kind of defining element.
Of course, yeah.
Because we all are. I mean, you may be a stunning platinum blonde, yeah, but you're a hell of a woman as well.
That's intriguing. Now, on our session four, you're going to be reading from another novel. Which one have you chosen?
Well, because I'm going backwards, we're now on Five French Hens.
Okay, brilliant. Shall we have a bit of that?
Five French, yes, absolutely. I've only got a little bit, but okay. It's Five French Hens is the story of Jen, Della, Tess, Pam and Rose, who are 570-somethings who take off on a hen party to Paris. This excerpt focuses on Rose, who's a widow, who's initially quite naive. You know, so Paris is a big city and she's a very small person there at first. She's an ex-piano teacher who finds herself in a cabaret club with one of the others. And this is Rose's experience. Rose sipped her second spritzer. She'd loved the last singer, a woman popular with the audience called Elton John, who wore oversized glasses and a glittery jacket. Lipstick was black, shaping her lips in a sullen snarl, and her red hair stuck up around her face like a wild flaming fan. She'd really played the piano well, and she'd sung all the songs herself too, her strong voice bellowing out Rocket Man and Crocodile Rock. Rose had watched her feet in tall platform boots, pressing the piano pedals, and wished she, Rose, could be in the singer's place, sitting at the stool of a beautiful white baby grand and tinkling the keys. She doubted that she'd wear what Elton John was wearing, although in fairness, Joan didn't seem to care about wearing age-appropriate clothes, despite not being too far from Rose's own age. The singer had so much makeup on that from where she was sitting, Rose could see the cracks in the porcelain foundation on her face beneath the spangled glasses, and she was sure the flame red hair wasn't natural. But now there was an extremely buxom singer in a yellow fringed dress, an oversized cowboy hat and high leather boots. She had blonde curls beyond her shoulders, the thickest, healthiest hair Rose had ever seen. She was pretty, although her eyes and lips had been enlarged so much with makeup that she resembled a Barbie doll. Her name was Wheezy Anna, and she was very fond of country songs. Rose had watched her lips carefully all the way through Jolene and 9 to 5. Now she was singing I Will Always Love You, and Rose realised that Pam had been right. She was definitely miming, or lip-syncing, as Pam called it. But Rose had to admit, Wheezy Anna was very convincing, and she had the emotion off to a T, including the wobbling lower lip and the large, quivering Adam's apple. Rose thought that perhaps the enlarged Adam's apple spoiled her good looks a bit, but then, as Rose knew only too well, and Bernard had reminded her quite often, she had knobbly knees and skinny chicken thighs herself, so she couldn't really criticise anyone else. And Rose didn't intend to be critical. She was enjoying the music and the spectacle immensely.
Yay! Hang on a second, let me get the bells. Thank you. When you go back, you know, reading novels that have been out there, have got all these followers, people buying your books out there. I think last week you were saying that in the States, the one you were reading from last week, sold 100,000. So it's really exciting. So, but do you actually, when you go back and when you're in the present of actually writing a novel, are you so involved in the story? So going back, does it feel like, oh, wow, I'm revisiting something that you know so well, so inside and out? How does it feel to go back to that novel?
I think if I went back, I'd want to rewrite bits of it again because it's ever so tempting. Mm. It must be the same if you're an artist. You know, you could come back and... I think the acid test really is if you come back and you still like it, then it's all right. And I think this is one of the things that I do with editing. Once I finished a novel, I walk away and don't touch it for 2 weeks. Mm. And if I come back, I think, yeah, I can live with this, then it's going to be all right. And I mean, obviously, tweaking, we can tweak forever. But it's nice to come back and feel comfortable with something. You know, it's not like a pair of old shoes, but it is sort of like a favourite frock. And you put it on, you go, yeah, this still fits all right. I'm happy with this.
But do you ever dream about your characters? Do they ever come into your dreams?
Yeah, it's awful. They wake me up at 2 in the morning and they sit in the bed and they say to me, what are you going to make us do in the next chapter? And then they argue with me. And this is absolutely the truth. I get a lot of my work done at, you know, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I think, yes, but if you do that, then what will be the consequence of 2 chapters down the line? And I like working that way. It's really nice because it means that, you know, the characters are quite live and the story is quite live. So it's sort of, it keeps growing all the time, which I like very much. It suits me better than having post-it notes on the wall telling me what I'm going to do in every chapter, which I know some people swear by.
Mm. But it sounds quite psychic as well. It's almost like you've tuned in so strongly to your characters. Mm. They are the kind of not just the embodiment of you, but they're actually separating and coming out to have a good old chin wag with you about what's going on and what their future holds. It sounds really quite compelling to have that dialogue in the middle of the night. Do you have to?
There is a belief that all characters are composites. Mm. So, you know, whereas you never write about somebody you actually know, because we've all, you know, lived a life. There are bits and pieces going on in our heads that go way, way back. And we draw on, I suppose, little bits of knowledge and make composite characters. Plus, of course, you've got your imagination to fill in the gaps. So, yeah, I suppose they do become sort of larger than life, particularly at 4 o'clock in the morning.
God, yeah. God, if I had a knock from one of my characters, I'd be like, oh, my God, excuse me, I want to go back to sleep. So in terms of other writing that you do, Judy, we've kept sort of running out of time in a little bit, but I just wanted to touch on, you know, you obviously earn a good living from being a novelist, and, you know, and it's really exciting and it's growing. And as you said, over the weeks that we've been talking, these sessions, what a great support that your publisher and editor and agent have all been. Are there other things that you're writing concurrently with your novel? Are you doing anything else to earn a living through writing? Just thought I'd ask you that.
I don't think it's very easy to make a living. You do it brilliantly, but through writing poems, there just isn't the market for them.
No.
I know, you know, Benjamin Zeff and I used to write for Blood Axe originally, and they don't take anybody on now.
No.
So I think things have shifted in the ways of poems. I've got from my publisher the opportunity to write in a different genre, which I will say more about when I can.
Ooh.
And that's really, really exciting. So it's enabled me to, I've often kind of written things that have been a little bit creepy and a little bit edgy, which is really giving it away. And so that's what they're allowing me to do, which I'm really exploring. And it's given me that other dimension, which is fantastic.
As
for writing other things, I think once you get into a novel, I mean, I get immersed in it, Julie. I'm so deeply into
there isn't room for anything else.
You know, I'd have to drag myself away to write a shopping list.
Judy Lee, we love you. I'm so pleased to be talking with you each week. It's been a joy. And thank you so much. And we must catch up in real life and not be on the radio.
We'll be able to soon, which will be really, really nice.
I look forward to that, Judy Lee. Thank you so much for being on the KCAL show. Take good care now.
Lots of love.
And to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. The wonderful Judy Lee, writer, sharing her life with us, her writing life. I love the sound of those fantastic characters coming in the middle of the night. Ooh, like that very much. Now, I'm not sure about our guests tomorrow because I haven't firmed them up. It could be Jackie Juno and Saf Juno, but we'll have to see when the email comes in. Otherwise, on Friday, we've got Alistair Gavin, a fantastic composer and lyricist, talking about his life in music, and with Liv Talk, our poet in residence. So I hope you have a great day today in Devon, or wherever you are in Madagascar, or indeed Wellington. My thanks go out to Judy Lee for being willing to come on our programme each week. And this has been session 4. Thank you, Judy Lee, and lots of love to everyone out there.
they never wanna leave. Exhale.